Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 22nd of December, recording at 7:18 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Stock markets mostly a little easier across Asia. Japan was an exception, with the Nikkei up about 1.5 points. Modest declines in the European stock markets, well, some of them in the 2% category. And Wall Street, as I speak, and of course there is an hour and 45 minutes to go nearly, Wall Street's near the lows of the day. It's currently down 108 points on the Dow. Elsewhere, we have seen a slightly easier U.S. dollar, although it is well off its lows. Precious metals had seen a decent bounce, but have given up some of those gains. But I'd say for the most part are still steady. Gold is trading at 844. For instance, that's up 6. That's spot bullion. Other commodities, crude oil's is weak. We've had a contract change, so that's kicked the price up a little bit higher because of the contango. But crude oil is currently trading at $40.44. That's down 192. Government bonds, very steady still. Not big gains in here today, but extremely firm on top of the gains that we've already seen. Some of the industrial metals slightly firmer here today, and I think that's the main action that I can see. Oh, soybeans, I think, are also also firm in here today on reports that China was buying in more of its own crop. Okay, so what's going on here overall as far as markets are concerned? Well, it does look as if the year is going to wind down with a whimper rather than a bang at this stage. We still have really quite nervous market conditions in equities, but they are essentially, well, I want to restate that. I said still quite nervous conditions in equities. I would say that confidence is quite low, and that's very understandable. Nervous would imply more volatility, and we have seen volatility coming in, evidenced by the VIX, evidenced by the day-to-day moves that we're actually seeing, evidenced by the fact that overall stock markets are in trading ranges for the most part. Now, that's a continuation of the reversion to the mean phase in terms of those huge overextensions relative to the 200-day moving averages that we saw on the downside following that really shocking, persistently weak period from May right on into late October and into early November in some instances. Now, that created conditions, as mentioned on many occasions, for a reversion to the mean rally in terms of the 200-day moving averages. What was always up for grabs and mentioned was, would most of the reversion, assuming it occurred as it has been, would most of it occur in the form of a rally or basically a sideways ranging phase? Well, I think we see the answer to that so far. It has been mostly a sideways ranging phase, but this varies depending on which stock market index we are looking at. Overall, it's by no means an entirely bleak picture, but equally it is not a dramatically a bullish outlook either. It does raise the possibility that stock markets may actually be bottoming out, but the evidence is tentative, partly because of the time factor that has elapsed. It's only since late October or November for most stock market indices that we've seen actual lows within these ranges a month earlier in September for China's mainland indices. So the technical evidence is, other than the ranging reversion, is tentative, or it's tentative at least in terms of overall base formation developments. Now, I have mentioned on occasion in these audios that I did feel that the bottoming out and base building process would be quite lengthy, and there are some very good reasons for that. I mean, two of the most obvious ones, perhaps, would be the fact that, well, we know the price, we do not know the earnings. In other words, when people talk about PE ratios being really quite low, well, that's true in a number of markets, but the earnings are still being downgraded. The global economy is still weakening, or I haven't seen any evidence to the contrary. So, therefore, we have to assume, or I assume, that we will have additional earnings downgrades or weaker corporate profits. They tend to go together. In the first quarter and possibly the second quarter of 2009, at least. Now, the market knows that, or most investors know that. I think even the optimists are really not expecting the global economy to show evidence of bottoming out before the second half, and most would opt for late 2009, and some would be looking for this to happen in 2000 and 10. So I my point is, though, that earnings downgrades over the next couple of quarters, at any rate, are at least, well, I was going to say at least partially factored into market prices. I think they're significantly factored into market prices, which is one of the reasons why we have this ranging activity here right now. Another concern is over dividends, because a number of analysts and we ourselves have said, look, we really do have some quite attractive dividend yields here. But we have to be very careful about those dividend yields, because if there was ever an environment where corporations are likely to cut dividends, this is it. And of course, we have seen a number of dividend cuts, and I dare say that we will see more dividend cuts going forward over the next 6 to 9 months than we will see dividend increases. I think it'll be a rare company that does actually increase dividends in this environment, and plenty of them will have ample excuse, if not a glaring necessity, to cut dividends. So, in assessing individual shares on the basis of dividends, one really does need to see a very well-covered yield and a decent cash flow in terms of earnings cash flow. And not that many companies are actually going to be in that position right now. So that's a major concern. And then we have the fears of deflation, the fears of the fears of depression that are so much in the headlines. Now, we do get the greatest fears usually near the bottom of bear market trends. But that doesn't mean that markets are going to recover quickly, and it doesn't mean that base formation development will be anything other than lengthy, and that seems to be the case here today. As to whether we're seeing base formation development or a distribution period, in other words, a ranging pause, partial reversion to the mean in terms of the 200-day moving averages, followed by an additional down leg, the difference between those two scripts would be evidenced in the lows, in the reaction lows. In other words, and this is something that former delegates to the chart seminar will recall, if a market is in a bottoming out phase prior to a significant recovery, at some point during that base formation development, and quite often early on within that base formation development, we do see the lows, the reaction lows, edge higher. As we've seen, for instance, with China, you'll find a few more indices that show a progression of some rising lows. You see that on Wall Street, but China has shown it for longer, going back to that September low. Now, it's tentative, and because the activity is mostly of a ranging nature, it wouldn't take too many downward days to start to break that progression of rising lows, and then one has to reassess. But my point is that you look back through history, markets bottoming out, base formation development, sooner or later, and within that base formation development phase, we do see those lows edging higher, and that is the most reliable indication that demand is just beginning to get the upper hand and to offset bad news in the process, or it's an indication that that bad news is fully discounted. So that's what we do need to see. Conversely, if markets are going to go lower anytime soon, as I pointed out before, they can't really do that without starting to break through some of the recent lows. And the one that I think is still important is that early December low that we saw for a good many stock market indices. So this is not a time for heroics here. This is a time for caution. I am happy to sit on the cash that I actually have, a chunk of which I have earmarked for eventual investment in equities. I'm in no rush to put that money to work in the stock market. I am content to watch. I have taken a few smallish spread bet positions to give me some exposure in the markets, but I'm not an aggressive buyer here at this time. That's the main point that I want to make. Now, what else is going on here? In terms of precious metals, I think that the peaking of the US dollar, the possible peaking of the Japanese yen augurs well for precious metals over the medium term, as does the steady action they show in terms of many other currencies. And you can see that in the chart library, of course, where you can see gold in a variety of different world currencies. And the basic message is that it is held up extremely, extremely well. Now, that doesn't mean that gold and its sister precious metals aren't quite volatile from time to time, and it doesn't mean that they will be net performers rather than relative performers. I think the best environment for precious metals would be stability in stock markets, in other words, continued evidence or gathering evidence of base formation development rather than another down leg, and also a gently lower trend for the US dollar and also for the yen, as both of those would indicate that a lot of the distressed selling, forced selling, deleveraging selling was out of the way. And we are not yet in that environment, although we do have the peak with the US dollar, which I think will actually hold. The most bearish environment, I think, for global stock markets would be if Wall Street broke down and triggered another downward leg for the global bear market in equities. And we certainly can't rule that out at this stage. After all, the stock markets are still in overall downward trends, at least as suggested by the 200-day moving averages. So, but that environment, if we were to see another down leg for global stock markets, I think that would tend to weigh fairly heavily on precious metals, although they would still likely be relative performers, but not net performers overall. Meanwhile, those long-dated government bonds remain exceptionally strong, as I mentioned at the beginning, and that does certainly indicate that fear of the deflation and possible risk of a deepening, probable risk of a deepening recession is very, very high indeed. My feeling is that those who are who've been clever enough to have had major long exposure in those long-dated government bonds is that you really will want to be careful when the next downward dynamic actually occurs, because the prices for these bonds have an Indian rope trick look about them. They are still a momentum play. There is no evidence yet that they have peaked, but it's quite a stretch, and it's a crowded trade. And when people decide to nail down profits, don't be surprised if there's quite a significant reaction overall. The better value is in the corporate bonds, but of course that's where all the greatest uncertainty is. And when you have quantitative easing in terms of governments buying their own government paper, partly to not least to help recapitalize the banks to keep interest rates low, that is an encouraging sign for those who are owning, who own and are still buying those long-dated government bonds. Well, it's reassuring, isn't it, to put it mildly. But again, accelerating trends, I would be very careful when we do see those first downward dynamics across the boards in those instruments. Now, I will be broadcasting again tomorrow and probably very briefly on Wednesday, the Christmas Eve date. Owen will also be participating in the output again as well as we continue this our coverage for this year. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.